Om Shanti, good morning. When Sister Moni asked me for a topic, I couldn't quite pin it down what topic, and improving concentration sounds a bit serious, but I think I'm going to explore a little bit this morning in terms of what I've been feeling has been key for us right now, and that's really how to make the mind more quiet and still. While we were having yoga, I was just observing that we're trying to be focused, and there's the drilling happening on the top there. So the physical environment maybe not be conducive to deep concentration, yet that's the training that Baba's giving us. That in spite of what's happening around us, how do we remain still, centered, clear, and connected? And the word concentration in Hindi has a number of words that Baba uses that connects it together. One is ekagrata, which is translated as concentration. Ek meaning one, and grata, I think it means one direction. Ek ras, ekta, which means unity. So the word one is key in terms of the discipline of concentration. And just the word concentration, in a way, when we break it up as well in English, it's concentration. What I'm concerned about, that's what I focus on. So for me, unlike our usual approach, where we see in concentration as a practice of the mind, I've been working on it from a different angle. It was a class that I heard where Sister Jayanti made a statement that shifted my approach to the whole practice. And that is that the mind follows the heart. And instead of looking at concentration as a training of the mind, you know, like this fixed drill that we need to do, it made me aware that if we start exploring the heart on a deeper level and start clearing the heart, then the mind will follow. And the effort is there, not so much about trying to force the mind into one direction. But the effort really is about opening the heart and letting the heart rest in the right place. And if the heart is resting in the right place, then the mind won't wander and waver. So it started a deeper exploration about the heart and looking at the heart. And in some ways, when I was reflecting and working on this, Baba sometimes in the Murli says that Baba is the almighty authority, but he often says Maya is no less, right? So have you ever thought, why is Maya no less? Any thoughts? Why is Maya no less? Baba says he's the almighty authority, but Maya is no less. Sorry? The storms of Maya, yeah? But why are the storms of Maya no less than God? They're as strong and as powerful. Okay, in which way? In engulfing you. Yeah? Any other thoughts? Did you ever think why Baba says Maya is no less? Sorry? The best actor in the negative role. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Maya's present for half the cycle, right? So she's no less than what God gives us is entertainment for half the cycle, right? Yeah. In my reflections, I'm just thinking that there are two energies that play a huge role in the way we see things and the way we relate to things and experience things. One is the experience of love. Love colors the vision. Love colors the understanding of things. Love emerges the virtues within the soul. But equally powerful is the experience of sorrow. If you think about it, that the experience of sorrow leaves a deep impression in the soul. It creates behaviors whereby I become defensive, I become fearful, but also it influences the way I see the world and how I make sense of the world around me. So both play such an important role. And I think on one level, Baba gives us beautiful experiences. And I feel that, you know, for so many years, we've been sustained by Baba's drishti and by the Avyakt meetings. And it's almost like Baba carried us on this wave of love. We didn't have to make much effort. It was given to us, right? We just had to get to Madhuban and get to the meeting, and the rest Baba did for us. And so we've been carried by these amazing, beautiful, powerful experiences of love. But I feel that where we are right now as a family is that we now have to do the inner work of, we've had the blessing of Baba carrying us, but now we have to do the inner work of clearing the heart. Because unless we don't do that work, the fullness of what Baba has to offer us will elude us. We'll see it, but we won't be able to taste it and grasp it. And so, to really begin to do that inner work within the self, of checking the heart and seeing what is it that I'm holding onto inside. And one sort of realization or insight for the self is that intellectually we know we must let go. But somehow we don't always have the capacity to let go. We may think, oh, it's done, but then we see how the sanskar pops up again and again, you know. And I think in some ways it's because whatever we've experienced, we've made it our identity. And as long as we've made our past experience our identity, we've placed a lot of value on it and given it a lot of importance. And that's why it's difficult to let go then. And so one sort of insight in a way is that I think ultimately the practice is of soul consciousness. But one aspect is also to reduce this value and importance we've given to our past experiences. It's also to understand in a way that sorrow is a product of ego. No matter what the situation was or what the experience was. But sorrow is a product of ego. And when I begin to work with it in this way, to say that it only exists there because I'm attached to it, I've made it important, I've made it my identity, to that extent that it has that effect on the soul, that it begins to color attitude, it begins to color vision, begins to color perception. And so this deep work on the self, in a sense, to say that, you know, when I check the heart and I see that there are other feelings that are inside there, irrespective of the reason that triggers those feelings, but the reality is that the feelings are things that I hold inside. When I can begin to see that that's just ego, then it helps me to put perspective to it, that it's not the truth of the soul, that it's something I've latched onto. Because drama's drama, I just always like using that phrase, drama's drama, and there will always be things in the drama that happens. But the question that I always have to ask is really that, irrespective of what's happening in the drama, what is happening inside of me? And that becomes the mirror when we begin to reflect on that level. As we begin to reflect on that level, we begin to see, okay, what is it that I'm holding in my heart? Because mentally we know one thing, but sometimes we're holding things in the heart. And that's where we need to start observing. And observing with compassion. The energy right now I do feel, be it for the self or be it for others, is that if we really want to release and move on and grow, is we need to emerge this dharana of compassion. And it begins with the self, looking at the self, looking at the things I've held on to, and in some ways accepting that. But with that acceptance is also to know that that which I've held on to had been part of my ability at that stage, but now it's time to grow beyond that. And I'd like to just share one little experience. I was in Peace Village. We had a silence retreat, and I think silence retreats are great because they give you opportunity to observe yourself, observe what's happening inside. And I noticed how a particular emotion got triggered. The situation was not important, but the fact that the emotion got triggered. And as I started observing it and looking at it, it became very clear to me, an experience I had early on in my Brahman life that actually led to a feeling of disappointment or whatever the case may be, which got so deeply suppressed inside that every time when I'm in a situation, that same sanskar got triggered. But as I was sitting in yoga and it became clear what was the trigger of that sanskara, also the image emerged that, you know, in a way, that was that act, that scene in that moment. But you know, that scene is over now. The audience is gone, the lights are switched off, the stage has, you know, moved on, and it was like the relevance of that experience is no longer relevant. And it's almost like reducing the importance of that experience in my own mind helped me to just like feel released from that experience. And with that, from that sanskara in a way. So, in a way, that inner work of really beginning to look at ourselves deeply and clearing the self from inside. Dadi often speaks about three things. A clean heart, clean and honest heart. So cleanliness, honesty and simplicity. And these have been three things that I've been really experimenting with. Because it's that honesty within the self to see for the self what becomes the block. Or sometimes what distorts what I'm seeing. Or what is influencing how I'm interpreting something. And that's the honesty I need to have. Because if I'm not going to take responsibility for the way I'm seeing things, or the way I'm interpreting things, or the way I'm experiencing things, then it will never change. Unless I take responsibility for it, only then can it shift. And it requires a level of humility for that. Because I think it's very easy to justify. And as long as we justify, we can't shift out of it. So it requires a level of humility to see and accept that this is something I have created in me that I have to release for the self. So that's the level of honesty. And the second aspect that Dadi always speaks about that I find very useful, the aspect of cleanliness. And really, in a way, to just keep that mirror of the Murli constantly with the self. And seeing the self against that mirror and asking the self, is this the way Baba would like me to see or to think or to feel? You know, it's almost like in some sense we have to clean out all other thoughts and all other feelings. And why I was saying humility in a sense is needed for this, because when there's humility, then I actually allow Baba's energy to help me. Subtly, our ego blocks God off. We may say, you know, Baba, help. But unless, you know, there's the humility to know that what is inside is something I have created, and yet it's something that I know I don't no longer want. And there's that humility of accepting that, only then can Baba step in. And it's very interesting because the word humility in Hindi also links up with the word being constructive. So when you look at humility, that humility allows for renewal and using my energy constructively. So it's cleaning out. First, it's acknowledging, accepting, and then cleaning out. And then the thing of compassion in that regard is not to feel guilty for the past. Not to feel guilty when emotions come up which are maybe angry or frustrated or disappointed or disheartened. But to almost view that with an awareness that that was a way of coping when I did not have enough power. It's like, you know, when someone's foot is injured, then they can't run. So you don't expect someone whose foot is injured to run, right? There's a level of compassion and understanding. And I think that same kind of vision and attitude is needed towards ourselves as well. To know that past experiences, past reactions, past sanskaras that we have created were all created because there was some form of a limitation in our capacity. And so instead of feeling guilty and bad about it, it's almost to create that understanding that that was the capacity I had there. But the focus now is that, Baba, I want to grow my capacity. And so opening the self up in that way to taking help from Baba. The feeling of Baba's generosity, the feeling of Baba's compassion, the feeling of Baba's understanding, but also the feeling of wanting to be in Baba's purity. Because it's that invitation or invocation of Baba's energy that then helps the soul to almost like go beyond how I've allowed myself to be limited by a past experience or sanskara. So it's taking that sense of energy from Baba and using it very specifically to make the heart cleaner and lighter. And I found that just as I kept the work on keeping the heart cleaner and lighter, then the mind became more quieter. Because very often, why we end up overthinking is because we're trying to control the situation or our feelings through our thoughts. You know, we're trying to manage the drama with our heads, actually. And that's where we end up overthinking and getting so pulled by the different things that come up in the drama. But if we keep our feelings clean in that regard, then there's no need to prove anything. There's no need to fix anything. There's no need to justify anything. As long as I know I'm coming from that clean space. And I think what it led to as well for the self is that as I keep the self clean inside and keep that attention on clearing out and just connecting with Baba in a sense so that the heart doesn't hold on to sorrow. It also made me relook at the aspect of faith in a different way. Because faith, Baba speaks about it, you know, in terms of the self, in terms of faith in Baba and faith in drama. But faith in the self that, who am I really? I think it was the Murli of the 18th of January, Murli, or around that time, I can't remember exact date. But, you know, often the point is that who is it that's teaching us? But in that Murli, Baba said, who is it that God will teach? You remember that point? It just stuck in my heart in that way. Who is it that God will teach? So if I'm that soul that God is investing in. And so in that aspect, really, the deep faith of knowing that God knows me And Baba sees the soul as the perfect instrument to play this amazing role in transforming the world. So really that kind of, I think, to really feel deeply secure in God's love for the self. And that's the basis of faith. Really feeling secure that Baba loves the soul. Baba values the soul. That Baba sees that this is the perfect instrument for the transformation of the world. To really feel safe and secure in that feeling of Baba's love for the soul. And I think when we really feel that sense of security and safety of Baba's love for the self, then the perspective on everything else around us shifts. We stop placing so much of importance on what's happening around us and who's around us and what's not around us. It all becomes secondary because the soul is feeling safe. And if the heart is feeling safe with my relationship with Baba, then I won't be pulled to things outside. I won't be that affected whether I'm validated or approved or liked or disliked or whatever the case may be. It's like I can remain light and detached. We can't really be detached unless we feel secure. Otherwise, we'll try to disconnect with things, but that's temporary. we can only really be detached if we feel secure in Baba's love. And that's why often in the Hindi Murlis, in the Murli when Baba speaks about detached observer, he uses the word Sati and Sakshi. Visati means the companion and Sakshi means the observer. So really to be the observer, to be detached, I need to feel secure in Baba's love. So that first aspect of love and faith of in God's love for the self. And the second aspect as well is that when we talk about faith in Baba, one is that how we develop this faith based on our understanding of Gyan and our experience of Gyan. But I'd like to also look at faith at another level, and that is also trusting Baba. There's a nice little image of a little kitten that's hanging on the handle of a basket. And says, faith is when there's nothing else you can hang on to. And for me, this thing of trusting Baba, what does it mean? Because I can say I have faith, but when I act on that faith, for me, that's trust. You know? So how often do I allow myself to step beyond the boundaries of what is familiar and what is comfortable? Because the more I allow myself to stretch, the more I then begin to trust that Baba's with me. When I operate in an environment which is comfortable and which I'm very familiar with, then I'm using my old sanskaras. I don't need God then. I know what to do. Okay. But when I always stretch myself to step outside what's familiar, to step outside what is easy for the self, that's when I begin to say, okay, Baba said he'll be with me, so let me test him now. Let me trust him now. Let me step into that knowing his guidance is with me. So this thing of trusting God, acting on my understanding, acting on faith. And Then the third aspect of really that faith in drama, and I think in some ways a very nice image that came to me the other day in yoga, and that was that, you know, the soul is just absolutely still, and the drama is like a wheel that's just turning around the soul. And in a way, it was just this feeling that drama's drama, one scene to the next scene to the next scene, and what needs to be will be. But I'm still in that center, in a way. So for me, faith in the drama is just the acceptance, it is absolutely perfect. And as much as it is, it looks chaotic, but the chaos is perfect. Because the chaos allows what needs to come out and allows for newness, it allows for growth, it allows for authenticity and truth to emerge. And so I've learned to welcome chaos. And there's been enough, I promise you. But it's been okay. Because, you know, sometimes we try to fix things or wanting to fix things or make it all look nice, you know, but you don't grow in that regard. And I just feel that it's okay to allow things to turn inside out. Inside out for the self, inside out wherever we are. Because only then it allows for truth, then only it allows for authenticity. Then only it allows for realness to emerge and growth to take place. So for me, faith in drama also means faith in chaos. That it's okay. It's part of the journey and it's part of enabling us to see God's magic. Because I think, you know, it can be extremely frightening for the souls in the world. But we have been so carefully nurtured by Baba for years. And that nurturing from God that we've received personally, each one of us, that makes us aware that there's a bigger picture that's unfolding. And so whatever is we see around us happening, we know that there's that bigger picture. And keeping that bigger picture, I think, is also what helps the soul not to feel so pulled and pushed, but to remain centered in that way. So it's really about sensing and in some ways also just making my relationship with Baba very firm inside. And that relationship really means in a way that really stabilizing in that deeper trust of what Baba's been teaching me and nurturing me with all these years, but also a trust in the higher experiences I've had. I think the Sister Mohini that shared last year, February, when we had a Skype class with her, and she was saying that how we should never let the scenes of drama in any way make us doubt our own stages. And I found that very important in a way that we've been making efforts. We've had very significant experiences. We have a deep relationship with God. And we shouldn't let any scene in any way make us doubt what we have attained already. And it's like the more we hold on to that awareness and stabilizing that awareness, it keeps us stable. And that stability, in a way, When the heart is stable in that regard, then the mind becomes still. Then the mind doesn't get pulled, because the heart is feeling stable, the heart is feeling secure in that regard. So a couple of things that I feel as practices that are useful. One is, I think we can never underestimate the importance of the practice of soul consciousness. And that deep awareness that I am a soul and I am a child of God and nothing else is my identity. A few Sundays ago, Baba was speaking about our rights. Remember? The right to self-sovereignty, and the first and foremost right is that I am a child of God. And that should be just the basis of my self-respect. So this practice of soul consciousness, of letting go of all the forms of I, and just being I, the soul, the child of God. And I find that that's very, very important to come back to again and again and again. And something else with the practice of soul consciousness that I have found very useful as well. Also recognizing that there's a deep connection of body and mind. And one practice that I've been working with deeply is also to become very aware that I am not holding my body in tension. Because when I'm holding my body in tension, it creates tension in my mind. And we do this without realizing. You're standing in a queue, and without realizing, we tense up. Why? Because we're feeling now we're wasting time, right? Or when I'm driving, or whatever the case may be, it's like we've made tension in the body a habit. So we don't even realize we're holding the body in tension. And when the body is in tension, it impacts the mind. So part of my practice of soul consciousness actually begins with that, to deeply relax the body. And it's like when I allow the body to relax deeply, it's almost like then I can step into that state of being bodiless, of just being a soul. So that's a practice that I find is our foundation practice, and it's essential. And the second thing, and I think this is something we know of and we all practice, but really putting the full stop. Coming back to that moment of being the bindu very often. And in a way also just sensing that when catching myself, when I find my mind is on a train of thought, it's analyzing the drama too much or getting into a cycle of thinking, it's at that point just to say, Om Shanti, come back to just being, you know. And Baba said something very lovely the other day in the blessing, that the deeper that I, and more often, I create this practice of putting the full stop, the greater there'll be the ability to discern and decide. And it's that clarity that will come inside for the self. So really to make time and you know, to check the self, observe the self. To see that when there are thoughts that are racing in the mind, just put the bindu. When there are thoughts that are unnecessary, just put the bindu. And it's almost like this wonderful, loveful self-observation is what we need to cultivate as a habit. you know, just see what's the quality of what's happening, and is it something that I want to continue, or do I put a full stop to that? So that's the second practice that I find very useful. And it's almost like it helps one to stay above things the more that I practice the full stop. Otherwise, you know, you find that you get pulled. So it's to stay above and have the clarity. Because I think how we're going to serve as angels is really our clarity and our discernment, so that we can help souls provide a sense of direction the more chaotic it gets. The third thing that I find is a practice that's very useful and important, and that's to always make time to self-reflect. And everyone does it in a different way, but I find a very useful way is really just to journal. My chart to Baba is really a letter to Baba, and that letter is really a reflection for the self, almost to take stock for the self on a daily basis, to see, you know, what's happening, what was I feeling like, what was my responses, what was the general energy in which I spent today, what of my relationship with Baba did I keep as a focus for myself, how is the heart feeling? And I find that this is a very useful chart almost to keep. The chart of my feelings, and I do it as a letter to Baba. Because I find that little things get stored inside. And if we don't clear it out every day in a way, it grows. You know, it grows like dust that slowly grows inside. And before you know it, it begins to influence the feelings, but the attitude deeply. So this daily checking of just, you know, clearing out, just seeing what's in there, and using that as a focus. Because when I self-reflect, it makes me aware also which area I need to focus on, to work on. And then Baba's Murli will always support me. So I find that self-reflection in the evening before going to bed gives me a kind of insight as to how I need to fine-tune the self. And then the next day, whether it's Amrit Vela or Baba's Murli in the morning, it will support that. I will pick up something that supports me for my effort in that way. So it also becomes a beautiful way of just feeling that Baba's with us at every step if we invite him to be with us. And the more that I keep that insight on the self, or that focus on the self, the more I invite Baba's energy at every step. The image I really like is, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, because it's Krishna sitting in the chariot with Arjuna. And the way I like interpreting that really is that it's like God is the companion of the intellect of the warrior. You know, Arjuna had to fight his battles. Krishna was not going to fight it, but Krishna was guiding his intellect at every step so that the war could be won. And that's us, you know, that every day Baba is guiding the intellect. And what made Arjuna Arjuna was that he was prepared to let his intellect be surrendered to God. There were many other warriors in that war, but not all of them were prepared to surrender the intellect. And so it's just that aspect that when I allow the self to just let the intellect be guided by Baba, then there is such safety for the soul, but there is also such clarity. You know, when the Serve Africa project started, and at the beginning of that project, all the teachers of Africa, we got together at this amazing Gurudwara, which is a Sikh temple, and they had accommodation there in Kenya, and in the middle of these tea plantations, you know, it was quite an amazing place. And Daddy had come for that, and we had like a retreat with all the teachers before we launched off and went to the different countries for the project. And at the end of the retreat, you know, Daddy was giving toli and blessings to everyone. And there were two of us, when we went to go fetch toli from Daddy, she looked at us and her eyes all sparkling, and she said, let Baba use your intellect and you will see amazing things. And I'll never forget that, you know. It was just almost like such a beautiful signal. Don't think too much what needs to happen. Don't think too much about how it has to be, and try to sort it out with your own understanding and your own intellectual capacity or your own experience. But almost like, let Baba guide. And I think to let Baba guide, it means that deep trust, you know, and that deep surrender. And it requires us to be humble, so that Baba can guide in that way. So that was such a lovely little image, not image, but an experience that I always remind myself, that we have the privilege as Brahmins now to witness magic and the wonder of God. But we must almost like get out of the way. And when we get out of the way, then we can see how Baba manifests the magic around us. And it's a humbling experience to see how Baba does this. One more experience I'd like to share was last year, the center that I went to go stay in had a swimming pool. We decided to fill that swimming pool up and build a hall. And so we put up this hall, and literally we're going to have the opening on, I think it was Thursday morning. And Wednesday morning, if you'd looked at the site, it looked like there was no way we're going to have an opening, you know. There was rubble, and the paving wasn't done, and all sorts of things were still undone. The floors were unfinished. But anyway, I had to go for a board meeting, so I was off-site, which perhaps was a blessing, and got out of the way, and the magic happened then. And so the next morning, okay, the yard managed to get sorted out, and paving was done in the nick of time. The floor got done at about 11:30 at night. So after Amrit Vela, we just got everyone together and said, okay, all hands on deck, because we need to clean the windows and the floors and set it all up for class, you know, because at 7 o'clock everyone's coming for the opening. And so we all got into it. You know, chairs were still in plastic, so all of that had to be taken out and reset and everything. And literally, I think it was 5 to 7 when we were done. And so, you know, I think I put the pot plants were the last two things I had to do. And then as I was walking out, I turned around to just look inside the hall, you know, before going and having a shower. And It looked so beautiful. And you know what it was, the feeling? It was better than what we imagined. That's how it turned out. And really it was the feeling Baba made it happen. You know, everyone's energy, everyone's good wishes and cooperation, but also not trying to manage it all, just letting everyone step in and do what needed to be done. And it turned out even more beautiful than what we had foreseen. So it was a very lovely experience, in a sense that if we just learn to trust Baba. And there were many times when things were not going at the pace that it needed to, and all sorts of things. And at Amrit Vela, always the feeling from Baba was, it's my responsibility, okay? So you just take it easy. And really it was that feeling, because we say Baba, but we then still trying to hold on, you know? And it's just really letting go, trusting Baba. And it's not that one doesn't do what one needs to do. You do the aspects of it, but stop it in your mind, you know? Trust that it will be okay. It will be the way it needs to be. And so these are precious experiences, in a way, of just that the mind becomes my friend when I learn to trust God. And really that if I keep the heart feeling that sense of just being very secure in Baba's love, then I think then naturally the mind quietens down. It's our habit for control that makes us overthink. And the second aspect as well is that it's also keeping the heart clean, and that's the work that I must never stop doing. And I can never underestimate that work. Always to keep it clean and clear. And just letting go of stuff that leaves its impressions in the heart. Because when the heart feels clean and clear, then there's no overthinking. And, you know, it's almost like... to me, concentration ultimately is just remembering Baba from the heart, not the head. It's like reaching out and opening up to Baba from the heart. And then it's not a question of trying to control this. This gets naturally controlled when the heart is in the right space. So those were a few of my thoughts and impressions and efforts around what I feel is really the need and the focus for ourselves now as Brahmins. Put a bit of space if anybody has questions or you'd like to add your own practice or something like that. It would be good. Okay. The question that Moni is asking me to just expand a little bit on is that remembering Baba from the heart really helps with concentration. And for me, it's like one is creating awareness, but the awareness must be connected with feeling. If there's no feeling, then I can't hold that awareness. The awareness slips away then. You know, it's feeling that helps to sustain that awareness. And therefore, it's not just remembering Baba, okay, you know, but it's that deep feeling of gratitude for Baba, or that deep feeling of just respect for Baba as well, appreciation for Baba in that regard. So it's with that feeling that I hold awareness, and then it's like I can sustain that awareness, and it then naturally grows as well. So then it's not too much of thinking that's needed. But it's like one thought, and then I can almost like hold the energy of that thought because I'm holding that thought with that feeling. So then it's less thought, but more just being immersed in the feeling of the thought, in the energy of the thought, rather than just trying to sustain a thought in the mind.
And what do you do when you sit to meditate and you just cannot concentrate? Do you have any yuktis or?
I think for me, it's just go back to being Om Shanti. I just, when I find that I can't concentrate, then just go back to being Om and just emerge the awareness of being a soul and just go back to basics. And I think just that feeling of coming back to soul consciousness at a deep level then begins to unfold the next step that's needed, yeah. But that's it. Just, and sometimes, I mean, personally, I would even just chant Om in my mind if I find I can't concentrate, because just letting just rest in that awareness of being Om, the soul, Shanti, peace.
Can you chant?
You want me to chant? Molly! Wait till I get you to give class, eh?
Thank you for this beautiful sharing. My question is, what happens when at the level of feelings you're blocked? You're saying, think with your heart. But if as a result of your experiences somewhere, the process of feeling itself is blocked.
So when other feelings come up, when you can't feel that sense of love, but maybe there's... Yeah, I think that's where I felt it was very important to acknowledge that feeling. Because many times what happens is when we're not feeling that sense of love or peace or whatever, in our mind the self-talk is, this is wrong. And sometimes the way we deal with that is we try to suppress it. But that doesn't help because it just grows in that way. So for me, I always just then say, okay, I need to work with this and understand what's happening here. So first to acknowledge the feeling, and then secondly to notice what is it that I'm thinking. Because the feeling is being triggered by a thought, when and so then I need to begin to work at that level, to say, okay, where is this coming from, what is this thought? And this thought is coming from a particular belief or a particular perspective that I'm holding. And then I need to bring Gyan into that to say, okay, how does Baba help me see this differently? So it's not to invalidate my experience, but to say that that experience was because of a limited capacity I had. But now let me bring Baba's Gyan and understanding in this, so how can I see this differently, and how can I shift the feeling that I hold with regards to that perspective or thought, etc. So that's where the inner work is needed. Yeah. Okay. And then when it shifts in that way, then you can move on then.
Actually, it reminded me what you were just saying then, that Denise then was saying that the original cycle, it had the original cycle had the soul in the middle, Om.
Yeah.
And that just this thing of there's a perspective out of 360 degrees. There's one way I can look at these things that will kind of get me out.
Yeah. And so the importance of coming back to center again. Yeah.
Any more?